Now in year number six, it's a Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels. Everybody sit back and enjoy a chat about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I do hope you'll share it with your friends and family. Cheers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 321 of A Yank on the Footy. I'm Craig Wessels, coming to you from Sandusky, Ohio, and I'm thrilled that you're listening. In this episode, I'm going to be joined by my mate Mick Aussie here in just a few minutes, and we're going to be discussing the gather round in his home state of South Australia. I do hope you'll head over to my website, yankonthefooty.com, and get signed up for the mailing list, along with leaving a five-star review for the podcast. If you enjoy the show, I do hope you do enjoy it. I hope you'll share it with your friends and family as well. And I decided we need to stay in South Australia this week since it is gather round. So today's club of the episode are the Encounter Bay Football Club. And the Eagles, or as I believe they even call themselves, the Bays, are members of the Great Southern Football League. And Encounter Bay is on a peninsula directly, almost directly south of Adelaide, for those of you who may not be familiar with it. The club was founded back in 1921, and amongst their alum, they claim former Sydney Swan Jim West and former Crow and Docker Tony Madra. Now, the club opens up their 2024 fixture against Wollonga on the 13th of April, and on their social calendar during round one is their annual player auction. Now, as I was reading through their website, I saw something that I've not run across, or at least I've not noticed on the website from any other clubs with the club of the episode, and I thought it was a really, really neat component to their website. On there, they recognize the 41 athletes that have played for this club since their inception back in 1921, who served in the Australian military in some facet or another from the Boer War through Vietnam. Now, there could be others who have served since Vietnam that were not on that list, but I just thought this was really awesome to pay tribute to these individuals who had done that, and I tip my cap to these fine people and to Encounter Bay for doing that, and I want to wish the Eagles the absolute best in 2024. Now, let's go ahead and jump into my chat with Mick Aussie, and let's see where we differ this round.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled to be joined by my mate, Mick Aussie. Mick, how are you doing today, sir?
Oh, I'm good, mate, but I'll be honest, it'd be nice to be back home in Adelaide, in South Australia right now, but this is the life I chose, so can't complain.
Well, you know, it's I was going to ask you about that in terms of what does this round mean for your home state, and it's kind of a big deal. It's a huge deal.
Yeah, it is. The Premier's done well. He's got this and he's got the LIV Golf. Not that anyone cares about LIV Golf here, but they love it back there. And South Australia and Adelaide's a bit like Edmonton, smaller city, friendly. People are friendly. Nice beaches, wineries, Adelaide Hills, all that sort of stuff. But generally, friendly people and a smaller type city. So a lot of people want to live in the bigger cities like Melbourne and Sydney, but nah. That comes with disadvantages as well, as we know.
Nicer beaches than they have in Edmonton, right?
Yeah, mate. That's probably the thing I miss the most, other than close friends and family. But yeah, I love the beach, mate. Love it.
You talk about the small city aspect of things, and now that Tasmania is the 19th club, little asterisk, I guess they're still working on the stadium issue, but it sounds like it's going to be a done deal. The rumblings keep coming about that Norwood's going to put their hand high in the air and say, hey, we want to be number 20.
Norwood? Yeah. Oh, nah. I don't think you want three teams in Adelaide. But
I'm not saying that. I've read that in many places that they are going to make a push to be, the 20th club. Because, they're not going to put another club in Melbourne for sure.
No.
If they add into another city, possibility of Perth, maybe you could have a third club. Probably not going to be another one in Sydney, I would imagine. Canberra, but Canberra's got GWS that plays quite a few games there as well. So, remains to be seen what they decide to do.
Well, my thoughts are I can understand them expanding and wanting the AFL wanting to capture most of Australia's market, but as we saw from some of the games on the weekend, I don't know, some of the crappy games like Crows and Dockers. What a disgrace, 4 goals. But yeah, anyway, it's great for South Australia. Lots of big celebrities over there doing lots of functions. So sure, the guys are making some money and people are having a lot of fun, and a lot of people from Melbourne probably driving or flying across mainly to see their Melbourne teams. And the actual ticket sales from interstate people went up from 32% to 38% this year. So,
oh wow,
lot of good stuff for the state of South Australia.
That's great news. That's great news. Yeah. I'd heard rumblings that they may be looking at possibly having the gather round maybe in the Sydney area in the near future. I don't know if that was just a supposition that somebody was making, or if there's a long term commitment to it being in Adelaide. Maybe Adelaide's got better, lesser grounds, if you will, for the clubs to be playing their games in than they might have in Sydney.
Well, let's be honest, South Australia, the Premier fought hard for it. We got it for 4 years, I believe.
Right.
Now you watch, the same thing will happen with the Grand Prix. How we lost the Grand Prix because Melbourne stole it. Perth and maybe Brisbane will come in and try and offer the AFL millions of dollars to host it. So. Uh-huh. Screw them. Let it stay in Adelaide. If we started it, let it stay there. And it's good proximity for people to fly from all over Australia.
Yeah. It's a good central location for that. So,
yep.
You know, the other story I was seeing, you know, bandied about in the last few days was debate and discussion as to whether or not the recently clipped winged West Coast Eagles should be getting themselves any sort of draft assistance. And I, you know, this is a club that, you know, held on to a lot and is still held on to a lot of their veteran players, you know, trying to maintain that glory, you know, where you see a club like Richmond who has begun to jettison some older players. You know, the Cats have, you know, started to phase out some older players as well. And, you know, what are your thoughts on West Coast, you know, arguably the wealthiest club in the comp, getting any kind of draft assistance?
Wow, interesting you ask that, because one of my favorite shows is from Perth. It's Barras and Quarters and Barra. And yeah. Glenn Quartermain actually said that, yes, stuff it, take it. If it gets offered to you, take the pick. And Adrian Barrage, who I remember playing early on in the Eagles era, he said, what the once proud Eagles, it's too much pride for them to take that pick. But my biggest issue, I mentioned this a few months ago or last year, it's a disgrace that the Eagles have $60 or $80 million in the bank, and yet the waffle clubs are struggling like crazy. How come so much more of that money's not going back to the Western Australian Football League? I just don't understand that. I think it's a disgrace, actually.
Now, would it, and you know much more about this than I do, but would it make sense for them to invest in having that league be as strong as possible to hopefully improve the, and I guess maybe Fremantle would need to do it as well, to improve the, you know, the quality of play? Not to say that it's not quality play to begin with, but to make it even better than it is, to enhance the talent pool that they could choose from in terms of bringing players into the Eagles or into the Dockers.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that, because this is an issue for me. Eh? As you know, before the AFL came in, VFL was strongest, SANFL was second, Waffle was close, and then they were the top three leagues. Mm-hmm. Now Port Adelaide want to join the VFL or have a second-tier national competition. Like, really, who's going to watch that? Who gives a stuff? It's all about the AFL now. Too much about the AFL. All the AFL. Money, money, money. And same with the Waffle. The people in the Waffle and the SANFL don't get paid anywhere near as much now. So a lot of the good players, even more so now, go to the country areas to get paid more money. So it's kind of like America in a way. Like, the top league is everything and all the others below are considered crap. And I really don't like that. So, you know, if the Perth and Adelaide teams want to join a second-tier national competition, I can see it going that way, because the VFL now is stronger than the SANFL, which never used to be the case what it used to before the AFL, but in the last, say 5 years ago, up to 15 years ago or 20 years ago, the SANFL was the second strongest. Now the VFL and all those teams probably are, because players leave the SANFL and the Waffle and go to the country. So I'm old school in this aspect, mate. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, one of the big differences, and I think you were referencing baseball there when you were talking about that, but one of the things about baseball is that, you know, each, you know, major league club. So for example, that, you know, the Cleveland Guardians, you know, the club that I used to watch that I have not seen play in years now, you know, they have a whole minor league system of players, ones that they're trying to develop that could ultimately, that are part of their organization that could at one time, hopefully help the team in Cleveland. The Los Angeles Dodgers have that. The New York Yankees have that, you know, with the Waffle, you know, you have, it's Peel that's part of the, that's with Fremantle, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
Okay, and I'm not, what's the club that's kind of the Waffle club for the Eagles? I don't know that one off the top of my head. But you know,
I don't think they have one, really.
Okay. I don't know, but you know, so you know, the rest of those clubs are all independent of one another. So you know, it's you know, the Waffle, the Sanful, the VFL, even now to an extent. Are, you know, the VFL, from what it sounds like, with Port Adelaide wanting to join up, and I think Sydney and GWS and the you know, the clubs up in Queensland and New South Wales have all joined the VFL. Those clubs that are part of that now have kind of taken on the model that Major League Baseball has here, because they're trying to develop those younger players that are on their list and get them, you know, the playing time to get them ready to step up onto the AFL side. Now, so I don't know if it would be a good idea to maybe, you know, depending upon the, you know, like the Sandful and the Waffle, do you have maybe, you know, West Coast and Fremantle, of course, have their own interests in those leagues, but would it help to have the other clubs to then maybe, you know, have, you know, not necessarily ownership, but have like, you know, dominion over, if you will, in a way, some of those other clubs to where they could put, you know, maybe even if, you know, if it's somebody who's like a, you know, a B, you know, like the rookie list that just come in, you brought in a kid from Ireland who's never played the game before, but it's a terrific athlete. You know, that maybe they end up going and playing on a, you know, at a, you know, in the Sandful or in the Waffle or something, you know, tiered like they have in Major League Baseball with the minor leagues. I don't know. I'm kind of talking half out of my ass here, but I'm just, you know, trying to make them more relevant, because it seems like they're getting the long end of a short stick here.
The only, who's going to look at all the cost of the airfares and all this sort of stuff and accommodation? Anyway, I'm
That's
old
true.
School, mate. I wish it was like, in a way, I wish it stayed, the SANFL stayed the way it does, but it looks like it's going to move.
Well, last week, you went 5-3. I went 6-2. And I did the little thing on headliner there, because you know I did repurpose your what when I told you that I was tipping Richmond to beat Sydney last week. I have another one of those for you coming up here in just a few minutes that you're going to even be more incredulous when you hear this one.
Well, you're wrong. I actually went worse. I picked all the favorites and went 4-4.
Oh, who did I miss then? I thought I wrote down all of yours. Did I? Oh no, you got the Lions wrong. That's right. You got the Lions wrong. I forgot to mark them wrong. Yeah, you went 4-4. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I went the favorites and lost. Yeah, good on you. Good pick with the Tigers.
You know, I'll just newsflash. They lost Lynch for the next 3 months. You know, they lost Balta. I'm not tipping them this week. they got their one tip out of me last week, but I don't see that. But let's talk about your Crows, you know, hosting the D's tomorrow morning early. You know, I think you might have been right about the Crows. You had them outside of the eight. I think I had them at number 5 on the ladder. D's, I didn't have them in the 8. I think you did have them in the 8. You know, the Crows are really scuffling. You know, they lost Wayne Molera to another patella tendon injury. So he's going to be gone the rest of the year. Now, from what I read, and I did not watch the Adelaide Fremantle game this past week. I'm going to watch it. I haven't watched it yet, though. A lot of people were commenting about how immobile Tex Walker seemed to be. Did you pick up on that as well?
Look, I heard him say today on Triple M that his back's fine and everything's good, but this is the problem, mate. 31% efficiency going into forward lines. Mm-hmm. 55 points per game this year when last year they were the highest scoring team. They're a mess. The former great SANFL player and coach Daryl Hart, he actually called Wildy, one of the hosts, and expressed his concerns about the Crows. And some of the stuff is what I was saying. Darcy Fogarty, really? And then Andrew Jarman said again what I said, and he said, the leadership group, half the players in the leadership group shouldn't even be in the team. That's their problem. And they got too many average players. They got what they call A-grade players. I'd say Dawson and Rankin. Everyone else is a good battler. Nothing wrong with that. But there's not that real skill. They just need more highly skilled players, and they're in trouble. Stephen May's coming back. Let's hope he gets one in the ribs, and hopefully Tex Walker can have a big game, because I just can't stand Stephen May.
I know.
D's are favoured by 6.5. I think they'll win. Let's hope the Crows can make it close, but I really think the Crows will be in trouble if they keep bombing it into their forward lines and kick it over Tex Walker's head, and Stephen May will just take mark after mark. I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm going with the D's to win this one as well. I've got them winning it by a couple of goals. I think they're a stronger side right now. You know, they're proving me wrong, because I was not sure, I was not convinced they were going to be able to score. And I think they rediscovered the fact that they have a former, I believe he won the Coleman at one time or another, a Coleman Award winner that had been, you know, lounging or floundering down in the VFL in Ben Brown. And they finally got him back playing again. And, you know, I think that could bode well for them. So.
Yeah, I like it when Ben Brown's playing well. I do.
He just seems to be like a really, really good guy also. I mean, that's one of the, you want to see somebody like that, you know, have success. So we head to the aforementioned Norwood Oval for Brisbane and North Melbourne. Now, you know, the Roos have played the Giants, Dockers, and Blues to start out this year, and Brisbane have played the Blues, Dockers, and Pies. So both of them have had a pretty tough start to the season. In terms of the clubs that they're playing against, the Roos lost their second player to injury to an Achilles injury this past week, with Callum Coleman-Jones going down after Josh Goeder the previous week. I'm not sure about this one, but you know, Brisbane, you know, they've not exactly been inspiring me all that much. Remember, I tipped Brisbane to win the grand final, and I'm going to go ahead and put it out here right now. I'm actually picking the Roos to win this one. I think the Roos are going to win this one by 7. I think that this is going to be the game that young midfield takes a big step forward when they go up against that, you know, quality midfield with Brisbane. I'm probably wrong. I got lucky last week, or I was right last week with the Richmond pick. I'm probably going to be completely wrong on this one, but Brisbane has not convinced me that they deserve. You know, I don't think they've convinced many other people that they deserve, you know, to have been, you know, my pick to win the grand final, because they've played, what's the technical term? Like shit so far this year. That's the term, like shit. Yeah. So I'm going to guess you're probably going with Brisbane on this.
Well, is that the Norwood Oval? It's a smaller oval. The crowd is right on top of you. It's quite a good place to play, actually, even though the atmosphere is good, even though it's a smaller oval. Lions are favoured by 35. I'm going to take the Roos to cover that. But I tell you what, I'm going to tell you a story here. All the trouble and the reports about the boys and from the Lions players, 10 of or so of them went to Vegas. Uh-huh. Now, the media will say some stuff and the officials will say stuff. I'm telling you, if the guy that took the photos that went onto his iCloud and then his missus saw the pictures and then shared it to the other girls, I can guarantee you that guy is not very popular amongst the Lions players. And all you need is riffs like that and it can upset a team. Sure, they might be reasonably close together now, but when you have a team that is totally on board, everyone is mates, that's when you win games and really stick together. So there's no doubt there's some rift that went on. I kind of laughed about it, though. Like, what a dumbass putting it to his iCloud, so his missus found it.
So are you telling me that the Brisbane Football Club never saw the commercial, the advertisement that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Someone said today, now with social media, what happens in Vegas does not stay in Vegas.
Yeah.
And that's kind of true.
Oh,
but
my
kids, goodness. How stupid are they? Like, don't I say kids? Like, it could be a 19-year-old or a 23-year-old on the team. Like,
right.
I don't know who it is. I was tempted to ask my mate Richard Champion who it was because he would know probably.
Mm-hmm.
And but I didn't. I didn't because I don't really care, to be honest.
It's the rest of the comp is going to maybe reap the benefits or the rewards for their the disruption that's happening to their feng shui, if you will, or their getting along with one another. You've got your second favorite team facing off against Essendon this week. You got the Port Adelaide Power hosting Essendon at the Adelaide Oval. Essendon got a big win last week, you know, without Peter Wright. Port Adelaide, you know, you could argue they should have beaten Melbourne last week, but were extremely sloppy with the football inside 50.
Well, look at this. Demons kicked 15 goals, 6-13-11. There you go. Straight kicking wins your games, doesn't it? I'm on about that lately. Horn Francis should be back in with a hamstring. Wines is out, I believe, with a hammy. Good to see Dersma play well for the Bombers. I like him. And McGrath, who was born in Canada, number one pick. He's playing well. And, of course, Stringer, the former troubled dog. Isn't he a match winner, eh? But what do we got? Power favoured by 22-ish. Yeah. I think they'll win, but I think the Bombers might get close. And they're a chance. Sure they are.
Now, Port Adelaide was... Melbourne was at 33%, 33 percentage points inside, you know, goals for inside 50s. Port Adelaide was under 20%. So
wow.
I mean, that tells you an awful lot right there about how inefficient they happen to be. You know, they had 20, you know, they had 24 scoring shots, but, you know, they, 54% conversion to 71%. It's just I think this is a game they let get away from them. And, hopefully it doesn't, you know, if you're a Port Adelaide supporter, hopefully it doesn't come back to haunt you or bite you in the ass later on in the year. But I'm going with Port Adelaide to win this one by about 10 points. I just think that at home, I think it's going to be a Port victory. I think that they're too strong a side for Essendon. So, did you go with Essendon? I don't remember who you said. Did you say
no,
you went with
Power,
Port? You went with Port,
Power,
yeah.
But Bombers to cover the 22.
Okay. And then we've got, we have to talk about the game because they're going to go ahead and play it. But the Sydney Swans are facing off against the West Coast Eagles. That's still an AFL side, isn't it? I'm kidding. But I've got the Swans winning this one by 6 goals. They're going to bounce back from their loss to the Tigers. I don't think I would want to be West Coast after the Swans drop that game. They may take out their frustrations on the Eagles this week. Yeah.
Well, it's up at Mount Barker, and if you haven't been there, it's up in the Adelaide Hills.
I've not been anywhere there.
It's on the way. Oh, I meant listeners.
I know.
It's on the way. Way out of Adelaide Hills, nice place. Lots of animals. There'll be some real eagles up that way. Might play better than the players, and there'll be some swans up there in the Cleveland National Park. There's a big national park up near there. So, what do we got? Swans are favoured by 54. Yeah, they'll probably win by that or more. And what's the Eagles? 3-12. It's worse than the Crows to kick 4 goals. 3-12 against the Dogs. That's disgraceful, mate.
I listened to the second half of that game. I had it on the radio in the evening. I think it was before I went to bed that night. Last week it was an interesting week because, you know, the Cats game had that lightning delay, so I didn't get to bed until 4:30 in the morning from that game.
Wow.
That was a long night. Yeah. Yeah. So,
the only reason I get to bed at 4:30 is if I'm partying too much, and I'm glad I don't get to bed that late anymore.
I'm too old to do that. I am way too old to do that. So we've got, you know, another really interesting game. You got two undefeated sides, Fremantle facing off against Carleton. I think they, you know, they did a great job getting this game at the Adelaide Oval. You know, I think you can make an argument that this game or the Bulldogs and Cats game are probably the two biggest games of the round. You know, the Dockers, I don't know if you follow, if you're on Instagram and you follow the lady that does the AFL from LA, but she does these really, really good video clips. And she offered some great advice to Justin Longmuir in terms of, you know, setting his alarm a little earlier to have his Dockers show up in the first quarter of games, because they've not shown up in the first quarter all year. They've been behind in every game to start off. I'm going with Carleton to win this one by about a goal and a half. I just think they're too strong a side. And things get interesting next week with the Dockers, because Sean Darcy's likely to be back, and we'll just see. It just have to see how he meshes with Luke Jackson, who's having a pretty phenomenal start to the year.
Yeah, look, Blues are favored by about 7-ish. This could be a good one, eh? But I'll stick with the Blues and to cover that by 7. That's not much. Yeah, Mackay's playing well, obviously, and Dock as well. The Captain Pierce is playing very well in defense. Josh Draper, a young lad from Perth, he's come from nowhere and is playing well, apparently, as well. So, but only kicked 9-goal 15 against the Crows. So what a terrible that game that was. Yeah, Blues to win, but Dockers are a chance. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm going with Carleton to win this one also. I think it's a really good side. And as they get healthier, you know, Wiedering's back. Even though they lost a couple of players to knee injuries, Walsh will be back in a couple of weeks as well yet. So they've been playing without Sam Walsh at this point in time too. So you've got the 2-1 Bulldogs, and I'm as surprised as anybody, the 3-0 Cats at the Adelaide Oval. This is the fourth game of the weekend at the Adelaide Oval. It's going to take a few days for the grass to cool off there, I think. You know, the last time the Cats were at the Adelaide Oval, I tipped against them, and I've not been so happy to be wrong about a tip in quite some time. Two very stingy defensive clubs. You know, neither one of them are allowing an awful lot of points. I am going with the Cats in this one by 8. What say you, sir?
Yeah, well, the good thing about this is I heard the Premier talking today, so if you're at the earlier game, the Dockers and the Blues, mm-hmm. and if you decide to leave, you can leave your ticket at the gate and $10 for the people to get in to see the second game, and the money goes to charity, which is kind of cool. So people can wait outside, say at quarter time, and probably get into the Bulldogs-Cats game, and then it'll be hopefully a sellout as well. So that's a good idea what they've done there. One of the improvements from the gather round.
I like that.
Well, the Cats kicked 17-4. That's great kicking. Big yep. Hawkins, 4 goals, and he's 350th. What a star. Yeah, I think the Cats will win. But again, this could be an upset. But let's take the Cats to win by about 7, as they're favored by.
Well, if the Bulldogs win it, it's not an upset, I don't think. I think the Bulldogs are a very good side. I mean, you know, it's... Yeah, but they are lower than the Cats on the ladder. But I don't know if I would be so bold as to call it an upset. I they're a very good club. So I mean, it's I think it's
been they haven't, beat, they haven't beaten anyone good yet, have they? They've beaten the Suns and the Roos, right?
Let me go back here and look real quickly.
That's all they've beaten, the Suns and the Roos. So we don't really know, do we?
Well, I mean, you know, and they lost. They lost to the D's. By 45. I mean, that was a bit of a thumping.
No, sorry.
There.
Beat the Eagles. My bad. Suns and the Eagles they beat. My bad.
Yeah. Well, they beat the, that's how they got their percentage there. Of course, they had to recover from losing by 45 to the D's in round one, though. So we've got Gold Coast and GWS both coming off the bye week. You know, everybody's been. And I've been guilty of this as well. Everybody's been touting GWS and how dominant they've been. But then we have to remind ourselves that they've beaten the Magpies, who finally won their first game last week, who were 1-3. They beat North Melbourne, and they beat West Coast. So are they as good as we think they are? Or is it fool's gold right now?
I think they are, actually. I reckon they got some good depth. They got good team system. They got some good stars. I think they are. Yeah, they're favoured by 16-ish. It's up in the Adelaide Hills, and I heard it's going to be very sunny. The sun's up there, and there might be some giant kangaroos up there, which is true. You see videos of these kangaroos these days, and they're giants up there. So the kangaroo big fellas might come and watch the Giants. I'll take the Giants to win. Suns might give them a crack, though, eh?
Well, I think they will. I'm going with the Giants to win this one by about 9 points as well. But I do agree. I think that they are as advertised, and you know, Gold Coast is an improving side, so this gives them a little bit more, you know, credibility. You know, and yes, they beat the defending premiers, but you know, they'd been scuffling. You know, they didn't play very well in round zero in the opening round, and of course, you know, they were playing on a cow paddock. You know, so you know, what's Mason Cox going to do in a situation like that? Yeah. And I'm if you're a GWS supporter, I am kidding about that. Okay, so
that was the showgrounds he was dressing. Yeah.
So we've got then Richmond and St. Kilda. You know, Tigers got a big win last week, but they lost Noah Balta for about a month. Tom Lynch for anywhere between 10 and 12 weeks. Max King is back for the Saints after having missed the previous week. I've got the Saints winning this one by a couple of goals. Now, Dusty's supposed to be back this week, but he was a late out last weekend, which made me think, oh, maybe my pick was not such a wise one. But, they did a nice job against the Swans. So, I mean, I was very impressed by that.
Well, it was at Norwood Oval, second game there. I'm pissed off at both these teams because I lost picks. How can you trust the Saints? Just when I start to trust them, they let me down. They probably should have won that game against the Bombers. The recruit from Port Adelaide, Bonner, he had 1,000-plus yards, meters gained in that game. That's amazing, isn't it?
Wow.
We wish we could have him at the Crows with the way we muck around with the ball. The spread's gone up to 21-ish. Well, that's because Lynch is out, I believe. I'll take the Saints to win, but Tigers might get close. And Neil Baum, the former great Richmond tough man and coach everywhere, He's very impressed with the young lads that came into the Tigers' side. So they've got some kids ready to go, not like, say, the West Coast Eagles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great to see, you know, these clubs, you know, because, again, you know, I would argue that, you know, that the Eagles, the Cats, the Tigers, and even to an extent Hawthorne were kind of all in the same position. And almost, you know, I would think Hawthorne got a bit more of a head start in terms of their rebuild. Although they're still struggling with that a little bit, but you know, the Tigers and the Cats were very close to one another, and I think the Cats had 8 or 10 players that were in the 22 last week that have less than 50 games in their career, which is, you know, none too shabby, and many of those were in the midfield, which is, you know, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm going with the Saints to win this one by a couple goals as well. I just think that they're a better side right now, and the Tigers lost. Losing Tom Lynch, you know, after just getting him back and getting him into the flow of the game, I think is going to be a real problem for them. Although they did, you know, they got a big win last week. And then the last game of the round, we've got Collingwood and Hawthorne. Pies got their first win last week. They're going to get number two this week. I've got the Pies winning this one by about 3.5 goals. What say you, sir?
What about little Jackie Ginnivan, eh, against his old team? He made the news playing for free kicks, and the AFL lady had to come out and say some of them should have been given to him. But, hey, this was interesting. He did an interview, and he basically said that Collingwood didn't want him anymore, and he got offered that 4-year contract from the Hawks. Yeah. Then he said all the Hawks players were calling him and hardly any Magpies players were calling him. So that just shows again, mate, what I was saying. The players will make out they're all cool with someone because they have to be. But deep down, there would have been players on that Collingwood team pissed off at the way he used to carry on the field, causing fights and all that sort of stuff. The kid's got talent. Absolutely, he's got talent. I just hope he smartens up and realises just play football and don't be a friggin' idiot. I'll take the Magpies to win this. They're favoured by Oh, I'm not sure, actually. So, yeah, the Magpies will win, probably win quite well, I think.
Yeah, I think they will as well. I think they're, you know, they've righted the ship a little bit this past week. They got that first notch on their belt, their first 4 points of the year. And that's, they're too good a side to not be winning games. Okay. Now, I think we are the same. We have every game the same except for one.
Yeah,
that's the Brisbane and North Melbourne game.
Yeah, I picked all the favorites just because I don't like doing that, but I can see the Bulldogs causing an upset. I could see the Bombers causing an upset.
Yeah,
maybe the Dockers. So I got to try and look for the upsets, but deep down, no, I want to stay consistent. I want to be in the, want to be close to the top of the leaderboards in the competitions, and then take some risks near the end of the year.
Yep.
That's the way I kind of look at it.
Okay. I've got our five terms for this week. All right. Are you ready for these?
Just hang on. Hang on. A couple other things.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jamie Elliott. What a player. Isn't he great value for the amount of possessions he get? Scott Pendlebury, very lucky not to get a game for that punch in the guts to Lachie Neale. But you might be able to help me with this one. I consider myself fairly smart, I suppose. Bit smarter when I was younger, but what's this? Is it a Hawks player, Watson, out with incimosis or incimosis? What the hell does that mean? Is that an ankle injury?
Syndesmosis?
What is that?
I think it's a broken bone in his foot, I believe.
Why do they try and confuse us with that? Say that name again.
Syndesmosis is defined as a fibrous joint in which two adjacent bones are linked by a strong member or ligament. So it looks like it's down in the foot or the ankle area.
Oh, so it's a fancy name for an ankle injury.
There you go.
Yeah. I was confused when Damian Barrett was saying that. I think, what the hell is that? I'd heard it before.
But... After all of the stuff that's come out over the last couple of weeks with regards to injury lists and such, I'm not sure how much credibility I give any of them anymore.
Oh,
I think
syndesmosis.
Syndesmosis.
Sounds like something I'm going to eat at a year.
Well, it's like,
or something.
Well, it's like, you know, it took me a while to figure out what glandular fever was, which is, you know, mononucleosis, which, you know, the quote unquote kissing disease that they call here. It took me a while to figure out what the hell glandular fever was. I was like, okay, I've never.
Oh,
heard that
no, that's, we've used that term forever in Australia.
Yeah. So, are you ready for your five terms for this week?
I've tried to
have a couple of these themed. A couple of them I think you're going to get. Okay. Now, first of all, what is a cobber? C-O-B-B-E-R.
A cobber?
Uh-huh.
A cobber's a mate.
There you go. That's correct. So there's one. One for one. Okay, the second one. What is a narc? N-A-R-K.
A narc is a dobber, isn't it? Dobbing in?
I don't know what the hell that is.
There you go. A dobber is to get someone in trouble. Tell the boss you're a dobber. A narc is a narc.
No, not that kind of a narc. This is a different meaning, but I know what you mean, like, you know, somebody who's ratting somebody out, who's telling
them.
Yeah,
that's a narc.
Okay.
It's not right. I got another guess.
I will agree with you on that, but that's, and maybe that's also, you know, accepted in Australia as well. But what I saw was that a narc, N-A-R-K, was an annoying person.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Okay,
is that?
No, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think the other meaning's more common, but.
Okay, yeah, that's one that I had not run across that one in that context.
Right.
Okay. So, our third one, this is an interesting one. To carry on like a pork chop.
just be an annoying idiot.
to complain, to rant, to behave foolishly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty common. That's pretty common.
Okay.
I have no idea why they refer that back to a pork chop, but it's a common saying.
Yeah, okay. The expression is often thought to allude to the sputtering noises of a pork chop being fried.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Okay. Now, these last two are both themed. And I think this might, you know, this might qualify a little bit in terms of what's happening with the list with the West Coast Eagles right now. But what is white anting? The color white and then anting. White anting.
No idea.
Okay.
But hang on. Is it something to do with cocaine?
No, sir. It has nothing to do with nose candy. Uh-uh.
White anting.
Yes.
White anting. No, never heard of it.
Okay. It says it's the Australian term for the process of internal erosion of a foundation. Now, I'm sure they're talking about a building foundation, but I think you could apply that to the struggles that the Eagles are having right now as well.
White anting. Yeah, that might be to do with white ants that will get into the wood and ruin your wood. That's your house. Yeah, that's probably what it is. White ants is a certain type of ant that will eat your wood on your house. That's maybe why.
Now, if you listened closely today, if you just had leaned your head out of the truck at work today, you might have heard me say this all the way from my house here. My refrigerator decided to shit the bed and stop working this week. So I had the repair. It's been out now for about a week. So I've had what was in the refrigerator in a couple coolers out on my patio. Fortunately, the weather has been okay. So if you'd listened closely, you might have heard me yelling, "Fuck me dead."
Well, you want me to explain what that means?
Explain what that means. That's your fifth term for the week.
Fuck me dead. What it means is, fuck me, you're pissed off. You're really pissed off.
Yeah. Basically, it's like, and I'm going before what I found online. It's the Australian way of saying, "Oh shit," or "I'll be damned."
Yeah, that'd be right.
So you got the pork chop one, you got the cobber one, you did a good job of filling in the white anting when they're talking about like the termites, if you will.
Yeah.
And then you got 4 out of 5 there.
Awesome.
And I promise I will not be a narc and tell anybody else about the fact you didn't get that one.
So. It's something this annoys me, eh? I like Damien Barrett. I listen to him and Hutchie. They got a great podcast, and Barrett's obviously on AFL Dave. I like him, but he's so freaking woke. Like, he got so upset because he said the word shit. Like, you can say the word shit on FM radio in Australia, but over here, when did shit become a swear word? Never been a swear word to me. That just shows how ridiculous. Anyway, they can say it on FM radio in Australia, but you can't say it here. Anyway, whatever, right?
Yeah, I was told when I was a youngster that word was not okay for me to say.
No?
No, I
okay,
didn't.
Okay, I know. It's never been, like I say, they still say it. Jarman and that still say it on Triple M.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know, it's now, you see it on like cable television now. And there, you know, some shows, like if you were watching like Breaking Bad or something along those lines, or The Walking Dead, where those shows, which were on the basic cable, not like, you know, that you would have found The Sopranos or The Wire or something like that, but on like a basic cable show, that they were, you know, starting about a decade ago, each one of them was given one F-bomb per season. So they could say fuck one time during one episode. So they had to figure out where did they want to use that one.
It's funny you mentioned cable a few times and we were just talking about shit.
Yeah.
The cable. Oh, you might not know this. The cable's an Aussie lingo term for a big crap.
Ah, I did not know that.
There you go. You lay a cable.
It makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. It's
and obviously it's one that's kind of like solid, if that's the way. Let's get off that. But there's a common Aussie turn, laying a cable.
Usually after you've done that, you do get off of it. just saying. So, Mick, before we go there, sir, where can people find your work, and where can they find you on Friday evening?
Yeah, Friday, 8:40 Mountain Time, Friday with Gabe Renzi, Sports Grid TV, and Sirius XM Channel 159. We do all the games, we do the picks, and I still believe we're the only ones doing it on proper TV and radio in North America each week, so... I love the fact that Gabe has me on still this time of year to do that, because I'm always on for CFL and NFL. So right, I enjoy that. And then McAussie.tv, of course.
Outstanding. Well, sir, any last words of advice before we wrap up for today?
Yeah, I just think I get annoyed when people will diss a city even though they haven't been there. Uh-huh. Like, I dish your Cleveland Browns in me pants football team, but I'm dissing the team. I've never once dissed the city of Cleveland. So I get annoyed when people will diss, say, Edmonton. People in Calgary have never been here, will diss the city. That annoys me. People in Melbourne diss Adelaide and I've never been there. So that annoys me. And I'm just bringing this up because Adelaide in South Australia is one, probably one of the great last states in the world to live, where people are friendly and things are kind of normal. A bit more expensive now since COVID, obviously, but it's a great place. It's my home, and hope everyone that goes there this weekend, this week, has a great time and consider it in your future plans if you go to Australia, to duck across to Adelaide, go along the Great Ocean Road from Melbourne to Adelaide.
You're ripping my heart out right now, because that was my plan. That was my plan this summer, and now my fuck me dead refrigerator is maybe putting a monkey wrench into that for next year now as well.
Yeah,
the guy, you know, he said, you know, we might be able to fix it, but as he said, you know, I don't know if it would be, you know, how long it's going to last if we make this repair to it. So now when my wife gets home from work, we're going to have to sit down and figure out whether or not we want to replace the refrigerator. Or just keep buying ice and keep it on the fucking back porch all summer long, which was not an option.
If we get up to 10,000 listeners per episode, I reckon some betting company in Australia might sponsor us. There you go.
10,000 listeners per episode?
Maybe. I don't know, mate.
That would be. Who knows?
I don't know the number you need for a betting company to advertise, but that's our aim, right?
I don't know either, but if I got 10,000 an episode. Holy cow.
Why is that not possible?
I'm not saying it's not possible. It's just I've never gotten anywhere close to that.
Well, how do we know? You don't know. You might have one download and 10 people in the lounge room are listening. They might have one download and there's 6 people in the car listening. You might one download and no one listens to it at all. So you don't really know.
And of course, if they simply just, you know, retweet it or share it or tell their friends about it, also, that's always helpful. So. Yeah.
Of course.
Yep. Yeah. Well, hey, man, I hope you have a great week. I hope you enjoy the footy. I know that, you know, this game is going to be on fairly early for you, you know, the Crows and D's, because that one's coming up here in just a few hours. So you probably will not be watching it until after you get home from work on Thursday.
Yeah. No, I'll be interested. I'll be watching even more because I like to look at the environment and see the surrounds in Mount Barker and Norwood Oval and that. So, yeah, I'll take more of an interest this weekend.
Now, let me ask you this before you go. The ground where the Adelaide AFLW side plays, it has the grandstand at the one end that's kind of all brick. It looks, you know, much older than – well, there's not a grandstand on the side where you're looking at, you know, where the camera's looking at. Is that Norwood?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, the ground. Okay. Yes, it is. They've made some modifications there since I played there in, 1990. I told you I played Michael Ashe's testimonial game. I came off the bench and I'm running around against Andrew Jarman and Tanner and all these legends. I'm like, what the hell am I doing here?
But you know what? You can always go find that stat sheet from that game and say, see those names? Mine's right there.
Oh, mate, it was an absolute thrill. Even we got our ass kicked because it was Ashe's, a legend SANFL player. His testimonial game, and the crowd was massive, and they absolutely destroyed us.
But, you know, you got to be there. It's kind of like the interview I did with Darren Bennett, where he said he ran into a guy at a bar where he had like a 20 goal game.
Yeah.
Somewhere where he met up with a guy that he didn't realize who it was at a bar, and the guy sat down and next to him, and he said that he was like, you know, I was like goals 13 through 18 against you that game. You know, that I was playing on you that game.
I remember that. Yeah, he's a great fella, Darren Bennett. Yeah, for sure.
Well, hey man, I hope you have a fantastic day. I know you've got to get home and get some stuff done this evening. I don't want to keep you any longer than necessary, but I hope you have an awesome weekend and enjoy the footy, everybody. And Mick, thanks so very much, man, for coming on again. And we'll see if we can get you all five terms next week.
Yeah, thanks, man. And let's hope the Crows can get some kind of form going. See you later, man.
You bet. Cheers.
All right, Mick. Hey, thanks for jumping on to chat about this week's games. I know that if you had the opportunity, you would love to be home getting involved in watching as many of these games as you possibly can back in SA. It's going to be a great round of football. I'm really, really looking forward to it. So there you have it, folks. There's the gather round, round four, if you will. And you'll have to let us know where we're right and where we're wrong. And I know there's going to be one of the games that pretty much everybody's going to say, you got it dead wrong. And I may very well do have it dead wrong. But, hey, it's just my thought here, okay? Please, please do not put any money on any choice that I've made or suggested to you. This is purely for entertainment purposes. Ladies and gentlemen, look out for one another. Check up on your friends. Reach out to somebody if you need to talk to them. If you've not listened to episode 320, I sat down with Michelle Gertz from Read the Play, an organization that's doing a lot of mental health work with young athletes in the southern part of Victoria. Really, really great discussion. I do hope you'll check that one out. Remember, you can find everything about the podcast over at my website, yankonthefooty.com. You can reach me by email at yankonthefooty@gmail.com. You can find all my socials linked there as well. If you want to help out the podcast, you certainly could do that. You could click on that Buy Me a Coffee button if you'd like to do that as well. Feel free to drop me a note. If you've got an idea for a guest or if you'd be a great guest on the podcast, please reach out. I'd love to set something up and chat with you. And ladies and gentlemen, may your dribble kick never hit the post. I will catch you later. And this has been episode 321. Thanks for listening. Again, please subscribe, leave a 5-star, share it with your friends and family. And until next time, cheers and goodbye.